I'd like to invite you over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38 reads this way. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that you are here in our midst, where two or three are gathered in your name, you've promised to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We do ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might understand more about the salvation and the blessings that you have given to us. Bless your word. Again, Lord, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "Now the Just Shall Live by Faith." Now the just shall live by faith. That's something that's kind of easily thrown around there, and we want to understand really what God is saying when he says to us that the just shall live by faith. And so just two thoughts tonight. We're not going to cover the whole text. We are going to go back to verse 1. But I do want you to see here, the first thought is going to be, believers in the one true God have placed their trust in God's sacrifice for all, not some, but for all our sins, and not man's sacrifice. We don't trust what man is doing. Men try to make a sacrifice. God doesn't accept that. But God's sacrifice, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died and shed his blood and rose again, he paid the full price for our redemption. And that's who we place our trust in. And then secondly, believers in the one true God have placed their trust in God's work of sanctification that enables us to have the power of God that glorifies our Savior. Kind of lengthy points there, but they're important. And again, the last one is, believers in the one true God, that's us, we've placed our trust or our faith in God's work of sanctification. That's the part that God does. I mean, he does it immediately at the point of salvation. We've been set apart, have we not? As soon as we trust Christ, we're the redeemed now, right? Amen? And we praise God for that. But then there's a continuing process of that sanctification work that God wants to do. And the only reason that doesn't take place is the believer doesn't understand to seek for it, or does, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but as I look to the Word of God, I find that is a revelation that God wants to give to all of his believers, especially and particularly in the New Testament, because now the believer is indwelt permanently and sealed by the Holy Spirit, where that did not take place in the Old Testament. So God has a better thing for us, amen, in the sense of that eternal indwelling Spirit of God in our lives. Now, the Old Testament saints weren't any less saved than you and I were, but we have been given something more in the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we'll take a look and see how that works. So let's consider the first thought here in verse 1, and that believers in the one true God have placed their trust in God's sacrifice for all of our sins and not man's. And this is important. So we consider here that we believe in the one true God, and we don't trust in shadows of things that are past now. We're looking to that which is permanent that we've been given in Christ. So notice verse 1, it says, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." And that good thing came already, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. "The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect or accepted in the beloved." So those sacrifices were pictures. They were trusting in the coming Messiah. They were trusting in the Lamb of God that would come. They put their faith in him. But these things God commanded them. They wouldn't have come up with this on their own. But this was a picture showing them that one day God was going to send them the Redeemer that would once and for all take away all of our sins. That was a shadow. See, there's a lot of shadows in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were types and there were figures and there were shadows of the coming of the Messiah, but now that's been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says these things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereto perfect or with a good conscience. And then he says this, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? If that was the way to do it, we would still be offering those things, but God put an end to that because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. In other words, they wouldn't be reminded. We don't, when we go before the Lord and when we seek Him for forgiveness for our sins, it's not because we've fallen from grace. It's not because we've stopped becoming a child of God. It's because we want to keep things right with the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven for our sins. But that can never, never dissolve our relationship with the Lord. In other words, when we sin, God still holds us in His hands. You remember Lot? In the book of Peter, it tells us that God knows how to deliver the godly, delivering Lot. And he was all filled up with the influence, and he didn't seek God. He was looking for the land that was well watered, and the idea was that the grass was up to the belly of the cattle or the livestock that was there, and so that's what lured him. He was out to go ahead and take care of his sheep. And if you remember the sheep of Abraham, the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot, they had a strife, right? They had some problems. And so listen. Think about this. When a trial or a conflict comes, who will we look to? Will we look to God to resolve that conflict, or will we try to resolve that conflict as Lot did? You see the difference? Abraham looked to the Lord and said, I want to follow you. Lot said, let's see what's out there, and forgot all about the Lord. And we need to be careful. That can happen to us. Let's walk humbly before the Lord. None of us are exempt from that. We all still have the flesh. And so God is wanting us to know that, listen, we have to cultivate this kind of a relationship. How do you cultivate this kind of a relationship? Again, I just want to remind you, make an altar in your house. Yes, you can pray on the road. Yes, you can pray while you're walking, while you're working. All these things you can do. But have an altar where you have a time set aside that you get alone with the Lord and just spend, don't time it, you know, don't say, okay, I'm going to do this for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. No. I'm going to meet with the Lord. Oh God, I want to meet with you today. I am making this appointment because you're important. Some people in the morning, some people if in the afternoon or in the evening, whatever the best time is for you, find a time because that you think about the Lord and you're wanting to wait on Him. You're willing to make an appointment. And when we take God seriously, He will take us seriously. When we get serious with the Lord, then He'll get serious with us. And that's the way it works. God will not infiltrate our lives. He will be invited. Amen? He wants us to call on Him. And so make this time that we seek the Lord and allow Him to build our faith. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to know what it means to abide. Show me your Spirit, the work of your Spirit that you've indwelt me with in my life. Show me how to keep your commandments. Do you know how to keep the Lord's commandments? The worst thing you could say, oh yeah, I got this. No, you don't. No, you don't. I need the Lord to teach me. You know how often I need the Lord to teach me? Every day. Lord, show me. You know why? We are really, if you want to just be upfront with it, and I know you do, we are one step away from stepping away from God. We can be misled. We could be deceived. Now, that's not God's will for His people, and that's why we want to make this time, that's why we want to take God seriously, so He'll take us seriously, and we will walk faithful because of God and because of His faithfulness to us. All right? So, we find here that this kind of a sacrifice did not suffice. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So this was not, you know, there are people, I've run across people who say, we need to keep the Old Testament. I scratch my head and I say, really? You know, Israel's not even keeping the sacrifice. And you're going to try to keep this, you're going to try to fulfill the law. You will never do it. And God will never accept that for your righteousness. God, His Son, is our righteousness and Him alone. So he says this in verse 4, he says, for it is not possible that it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's not possible. It was a picture. It was a shadow.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, listen, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That's the Lord. That's our Savior. And God the Father is saying, you've set this up. This is what you've set up for us to do for the redemption of all humanity, beginning with Israel and to the whole world. In burnt offerings, verse 6, and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had, listen, no pleasure. That brings God no pleasure at all. It was simply to be a shadow or a picture of what was to come. So believers don't believe in the shadows, and believers in the one true God do trust in God's perfect will or work, really, of salvation by his Son Jesus Christ, right? God was never looking to the Old Testament sacrifice. He was pointing to his Son. That's what's important. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the one sacrifice that would one day come for all and resolve this whole situation here with our sin debt. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. This is the will of God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hast had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Did you see that? He took away the first to establish and solidify the second. What was the second? The Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody deceive you. Why would you say that, Brother George? Because, my goodness, didn't they try to do that to the Galatian believers? Weren't the Judaizers always trying to go in there and they're saying, no, I understand if you want to believe in Jesus, but you have to keep this as well. No. Listen, they're still doing it today. They're saying, oh yeah, I understand that you believe in Jesus, but you have to do this, or you've done that, or you should have done that, and you should do this. Oh no, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we want to be grounded in the truth of God's word. All right. So verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. By the which will. So now we want to look to the second thought, and this is the last one. Believers in the one true God have placed their trust, past tense, we've already done this, in God's work of sanctification. You may have not known you'd done that, but when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you also trusted him for sanctification. Can you do that? Can you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and not know that God's also paid for your sanctification? Yes, that could happen. By the way, listen, when we got saved, we got indwelt with the Holy Spirit. How many of the promises of God did we receive at the point of our salvation? Did you know that when you got saved? I didn't. I didn't know it was all paid for. You know what? As I grew in the Word of God, I was shouting hallelujah more and more. Praise God. You look, I thought it just gets better and better. Amen. And here's the wonderful news. The best is yet to come. Listen, it gets better and better on this side of eternity as we serve the Lord and as we seek His will in our lives. Oh, my goodness. Listen, because of the great God that we serve, the best, I have no idea what it's going to be like. But is it not going to be better than we ever imagined? Listen, I don't know. I think you're going to see me with my mouth hanging open, praising the Lord and all this wonderful, and seeing the saints of God and the grace of God, seeing our faith made manifest completely before the Lord. We have the down payment. We have the earnest of the Spirit, and that's what encourages us to seek the Lord. And so that's the difference that a real salvation makes. The child of God is interested in these things. The world is not. The child of God wants to know more about what we have received so that we can enjoy it here on this side. And God knows that we don't understand all these things at the very beginning. But as we grow in the Lord, we start to see these things as we grow in His grace. All right? So this sacrifice is of Jesus is once and for all. That means there's nothing else to follow. So again, look at this in verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What does it say there? Once for all. That once for all time. Once for all believers. Once, and there's no going back. It's all done in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited and thank the Lord for that. So now in verses 11 through 13, we want to see the difference between the Old Testament priest and our high priest. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. That's the Old Testament priest. That's not our priest. But this man, who's that? Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One. There's just one. Amen? One sacrifice for sins, plural, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Where's the Son of God? On the right hand of God. Why? Because the work is finished. Remember when he said, it is what? It's finished. Don't you like that? It's done. I feel sorry for these people that think, oh, wait, oh, I've got to do this. And I don't know if I've done enough. What is that? Throw that away and look to the Lord Jesus. Look and live to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that takes away our sins once and for all. And that is forever. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Continuing right there, verse 13. From henceforth, from this point forward, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. All these people that stand and oppose God. God's just waiting. God's just waiting. All these people that walk in deception, that are deceived and deceiving others to believe a lie and to follow a lie. God is being patient. He's being kind. We don't wish ill will upon them. But if they are going to choose to side against God, then they are the enemies of God. And we are not their friends. We can love them. We can be kind to them. And we should, by the grace of God, because we don't know if the possibility of salvation is still there. But listen, I will be respectful to everybody, but I do not have to side up with them. Amen? I don't have to agree with them. So today we live in a society that says, if you disagree, you're a hater. Well, let's really examine that. We disagree, so who are you to tell me that I'm the hater? How about you're the hater because you disagree with me? Oh, they won't like that. Oh, no, my side's right. Oh, no, listen, I'm sorry to tell you, but if you are in opposition to God Almighty, whose Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, and who the third person is the Holy Spirit, and they're all together, if you're up in opposition to Him, you're on the wrong side, as they like to say, on the wrong side of history. Because I want you to know, our lives and the life of everybody who's ever existed is part of His story, not ours. It's His story. He's the Creator. Amen? And so we're not making this up. And we don't say that unkindly, but we ought to be bold in the faith that God has given to us. Harmless as doves and wise as serpents, but kind and gentle, but never backing down. In the sense of never appeasing them and say, okay, you're right. No, you're not. No, I'm sorry, you're not right if you're in opposition to God. And listen, at the end of it all, won't the truth prevail? Won't every knee bend and every tongue confess? We don't do society a favor to let them think that they're right if they're not standing on Jesus. They're not right, and we need to be bold by the grace of God. So, verse 14, and we're finishing up here. This is the result of God's perfect sacrifice. Notice what it does. The sanctified are perfected, and the work of God gets completed in our lives. So verse 14, ready? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's perfected them. Now listen, we need to seek out God's going to do this work, but we need to, so sanctification means what? To be set apart. So Lord, you have set me apart from what? From what? From the world. From the ways of wickedness. You've set me apart to be holy as you're holy. So Lord, I can't make myself holy. I've tried. I've failed. But Lord, I'm going to start looking to you. I wanted to make myself holy because I love you, but I found out something. I can't do it. But then I understood this. It's God's work. It's not mine. So Lord, I want you to do your work. I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice that you might, and calling upon you for you to do your work. See, it's not my righteousness. Whose righteousness is it? It's God's. Amen. It's the Lord's righteousness. Okay. So, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant, listen to this sanctification, that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws where? Into their hearts. Verse 16. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I... Who's putting the law in our hearts? God is. Right? Remember what the Lord said? If you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. Lord, teach me how to love you. And show me... In fact, you know what the Lord does? He puts his hands over our hands and shows us the way. But we have to be willing. We have to be yielded. His Spirit's in us. And so he will guide us. It's our hands, but we have to be willing. See, he will not infiltrate. He will not superimpose his will. We have to say, okay, Lord, I believe that you're going to guide me today. But if we never ask the Lord to guide us, can we ever expect him to? Lord, I believe your promise that you've called me to be holy. And Lord, you would never call on me to do something that you have not provided for. Never. If God expects us to do something, it's because he will do it, not because we will do it. And we've got to get that right. We've got, Lord, this is what you've called me to do. And so by your grace and by your power, by the indwelling Spirit, I'm walking in that truth today. Guide me, Lord. You don't have to ask the Lord for more patience. Just ask for the life of Christ. Remember what Paul said, for me to live is what? Patience, kindness, long-suffering? Or did he say for me to live is Christ? Isn't that the truth? If we have Christ, we get it all. We get the whole package deal. We don't know what we need. But Jesus does, amen? And the Spirit of God does, and that's how he wants to work with us. I'm running out of time. Let's finish up these last three verses I think we have here. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And so he says, that's it. It's all done. It's all finished. Now, I'm going to encourage you. In fact, let's see if we can get this in here. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. He did it for us. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Did you see that? He's doing this. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Who's faithful? He's faithful that promised. Do you see who we're looking to? The faithful promiser. Amen. And notice this, and let us consider one another, this is what's happening as the sanctification process is taking place, to provoke unto love and to good works, for one another, for us to do this to each other. And then not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Do you see, listen, imagine this, if all of God's people were on board with this. I'm provoking you to love. You're provoking me to love. Woo, man. You know? And it's all through the power of God. And the power of God we're encouraging one another, and the Spirit of God is free-flowing through our lives. That church is going to turn the world upside down because of God, not because of us. Not because we've got the plan. No, we've got Jesus. Amen? Amen. And the best part is that here it is, ready? Jesus has us. Amen. So tonight, that's what it means when God says, now, the just shall live how? By faith or trust. In who? In our Savior, amen? In our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for your salvation that you purchased, Lord, with your blood and with the resurrection, the new life. We thank you for your sanctifying work. We thank you for all of the promises that you've given to each and every one of us that has trusted you as Savior. May you encourage us, Lord, to seek you in those things that you've promised, to fulfill them in us. Lord, may Northwood Baptist Church honor and glorify you. Bless us, Lord, as a church, and bless all your churches, and bless as we break off for prayer. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.